Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to Wrestling Mindset. Today we're here with the great Teague Moore. Teague, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Gene.
Absolutely. So we're just talking a little bit off camera about the Olympic trials. So I thought that'd be a good thing, a good place to start. Talk about this past weekend, awesome Olympic trials for Paris. What are some of your thoughts?
I say at every Olympic trials that comes around, I feel like Team USA is better than we've ever been before. The level of competition and, you know, the depth of world championships of all age groups and the NCAA champions that now participate is just, it's like I've never seen it before. Example, the 74 kilo weight class, before some of those guys changed and pulled out, I think I counted 20 NCAA titles in one bracket. If all of those guys had weighed in and competed, I think that was by far the most accomplished bracket that I've ever seen of talent. And that goes from some of our young guys that are still competing, like Keegan O'Toole and David Carr, all the way up through our veteran Jordan Burroughs. Just an unbelievable weekend of wrestling at the highest level.
Yeah, crazy. I mean, so many good matches, so many good guys. Our guys and our girls, just like you said, unbelievable talent. We're watching world champs competing in the finals of this. Which, yeah. I'm sure you see other places too, but I mean, really, yeah, the depth is incredible.
It is. It is. I feel like, you know, the old adage, steel sharpens steel or iron sharpens iron. That's so true right now, because Aaron Brooks, after this weekend, I feel like he's poised and ready to win an Olympic title. And going back through the years, there were times where we had weights qualified or guys going to the Olympics, and I don't know that we could always say that they were poised for an Olympic title. And right now, I feel like every guy that won this weekend, especially in men's freestyle, is ready. Our women's team looks better than it's ever been before. And, you know, Greco's still improving, and hopefully we get those three weights as well as the two freestyle weights qualified. But I think what we're putting on the mat right now for Team USA is better than it's ever been.
Yeah. What were some of your favorite matches?
So I was really impressed with Valencia and Brooks, that challenge tournament finals. I was really impressed with that match. I was impressed with Spencer Lee throughout the tournament. For somebody that we didn't know going into it, if he was healthy, man, he sure showed it. You know, the wins over Gilman in the finals, I think, at least for me, it solidified like any question marks. Is he ready to go? Gilman, as far as I see it, is in terms of lightweights, is one of the best that we've seen from our country. And for Spencer to be able to control those matches like that, really, really impressive. 65 kilograms, like I think Zane showed again. You know, he's already a world champion at 70 kilos, but the weight change didn't seem to affect him. He's really developed as an international wrestler over the past couple of years. Coming out of college, he was extremely aggressive, almost to a fault, and it caught up to him sometimes in those international tournaments. Now he's so poised when he steps on the mat. It's like he waits to execute now, but when he does execute, he executes all the way through to points. So that was the, all of those were exciting to see. And just throughout the challenge tournament, there were so many good matchups that you know, I was disappointed to see Yanni lose, but I think again, that's a world silver medalist. That is the guys that are winning those matches, they're poised and ready at the world stage. So it's an impressive group, and I'm still learning, you know, as a coach. I was running club practice last night with high schoolers and middle schoolers, and my biggest message that I could impress upon them was, you guys got to study what these guys are doing at the highest level. Guys like Jax Forrest going out and competing with some of the world's best, and he's only a high schooler. I think it goes to show that, like, what our feeder programs are developing in these athletes early on. I think we've reached the pinnacle right now, in world competition for Team USA. We're competing at that level. So all of the age groups, and it's no guarantee that he's going to get an age group world opportunity. He's still going to have to go through the gauntlet at U20s, and may, you know, even the earlier group. So it's an impressive time for USA Wrestling right now. Gene, you're
Crazy. I was
muted.
gonna crazy. I was gonna say the young guys competing, and how many high schoolers there were there, and how, yes, we even had a lot of guys that didn't compete that we know that could seriously be in the hunt. And then also when you look at the depth of America, the amount of guys that are going competing overseas or in different countries, maybe not overseas, but you know, Mexico, different places where,
Yeah.
you know, it, these are guys who are, you know, sometimes just as good, or even in some cases better than some of our guys chose American wrestling, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think people now, just a few years ago, I think there may have been a lot of American wrestling fans that would have scoffed at guys leaving and going to compete for other countries. But now that we see the depth that we're in, we can kind of see why guys are going to Puerto Rico or going to Mexico. I mean, I had a brother-in-law ask me, if you were competing at this time, would you consider going elsewhere? And I said, if I had the ability to wrestle for Ireland or Slovenia, where my parents, you know, lineage came from, I would probably seriously consider making that change so that I could potentially get that opportunity, because going through the US every year is such a gauntlet of talent.
It's like when you look at other sports, you could clean, like, let's say track, gymnastics, you could, the US could clean sweep a weight, or Jamaica could clean sweep a running, like the 100 meter. You could have multiple guys, but wrestling, one guy per country. So it's like you do have to give it a serious look if you could compete elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. And now with the qualifying system, you know, you've got to hope that if you're not the guy the year before, that whoever is representing you earns that spot. If they don't, can you do it at your you know, your Pan Ams or your Continental Championships? Those qualifying tournaments, we are challenged very much with only one guy per weight. And so if you open that door for yourself and you go to another country, you present another opportunity that that you could be on the world stage or at the Olympics.
Yeah, and I mean, you could always play Monday Night Quarterback, look backwards, but you know, you look like a guy like Zahid Valencia. It's like he was right there, you know, basically could have beat Aaron Brooks right there, and then I guess you'd have to say he'd have a good shot against David Taylor, but the issue is obviously still severely in doubt, knowing you have those guys in your weight versus you wrestle for Mexico. You know, you're in, and now you face
Yeah.
those guys in the Olympics. You know, you got
Yeah.
it's a, you know, much better chance of meddling. It's
Yeah,
hard.
almost
It's a hard
a
call.
guarantee. Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I agree.
Yeah, it's a hard call. It stinks with so few weights. I think that's a real thing that gets me. It's like, 'cause you could see there's tremendous weight cut. I mean, there's always weight cut, but guys who are just in between weights.
Yeah, I'm so happy that our sport finally realized we need a world championships during an Olympic year, because as we cut back, we went from 10 freestyle, 10 Greco, so we had 20 medals in total for the sport. Then with the introduction of women, we pulled back and we went to 8 freestyle, 8 Greco. Then we introduced women's. Now we're at 6, 6, and 6. So I think the fact that we've now seen that we've got to continue offering a world championships in the Olympic years, my only hopes is can we figure out a way at the Olympic level to market our sport well enough that we can get a contingent like what you see for track and field, what you see for men's and women's swimming. I mean, can we imagine if swimming only gave out 18 medals for the whole Olympic Games? That would be that it seems kind of bizarre to look at it like that. But if you looked at track and field and said, okay, we're only going to give away 18 medals to all the men and women that are going to compete, which events are we going to pick? Track and field would be pressed to pick 18. Swimming would be pressed to pick 18. But wrestling, that's where we're at right now.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, what could you do? I guess
Yeah.
we hope for the best. Now,
Yeah.
with talk a little bit about Coach John Smith retiring. Obviously, it's big in the news. I mean, right before the Olympic trials, so you have two major things going on there. Obviously, you wrestled for him over at Oklahoma State. Talk about what he's meant to you, and just your when that got brought to your attention that he was retiring. What were your thoughts?
Well, when the announcement came, I was mixed. I got a little bit emotional when I saw it. But at the same point in time, I look at Coach and I've seen how dedicated he's been to the sport of wrestling, not just for Oklahoma State. I mean, all of the Olympic years that he has represented our country and put athletes on teams, the guy has truly given his life to our sport. And so I'm extremely happy for him that now he can change gears and he can really focus on the things that he wants to focus on. Yes, he probably wanted to focus on coaching and all of those events and opportunities that were presented to him. But now that he can just focus on family, and I mean, Coach is such a big family-driven person. A lot of people around him and his family lost out all those years that he was giving to us. He was giving his time and energy to us. Family lost out on that. So I'm happy that he gets to enjoy that now.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I was just thinking of, again, not having experience as a head coach, it's the especially the recruiting and the traveling, and you got to be all over that. So you're away from your family a lot, and it's like you have to do it because those recruits will go elsewhere. Like, he's competing for the very best recruits.
Yeah, his time, so 33 years, which to me is kind of mind-boggling. I love history and I love, reading history. And for someone to be in the position that he was in for a third of a century, and you look at what was available at the time when he got into coaching in Oklahoma State, when he recruited me in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He had to take a full day to travel to Pittsburgh to visit with me and then take a whole day to travel back, right? So that's 1994. Now the world has changed. Recruiting with this, what we're doing with Zoom calls and email, it's become easier, right? But if you go back in time, the amount of time and effort you had to put in to be able to go and recruit the best guys, the teams that he was able to bring together, he really poured his life into it. And as times changed, Coach, learned to change and learned to adapt with it. And again, I'm so thankful that when you look at the sport of wrestling, Coach is always going to be named in that group of greatest wrestlers, greatest coaches. And for me to just be able to tell my kids or the people that I coach that I got to spend time with him in both aspects. I got to be there as a wrestler under him. And in 2004, I got to go back when I trained for the Olympics and see it from the coaching side of things. And to have that, it's one of those memories that I will hold on to for the rest of my life.
Oh, definitely. And talk about what are some of the big lessons that you've learned from him, or certain things that, I guess even as a coach that you pass on to your athletes, even maybe some of the more the less obvious things that people might not even think about.
I think you and Eric did a great job of touching upon this the other day, but some of the biggest takeaways that I had from Coach Smith at Oklahoma State was off the wrestling mat. And that was because when we went to mass, when we went to church on Sundays, Coach was there. There was a good chance you were going to cross paths with him either at St. Thomas close to campus or St. Francis in town. And so looking back as an athlete, those major things that you're going through at that time in your life, for me, I went to Oklahoma State at 19 years old. I came out at 24 years old. I never redshirted. I went straight through. And I had aspirations of wrestling in the Olympics. And for all of the ups and downs that you face, right? I lost my dad while I was at Oklahoma State. And so Coach played a very pivotal role for me in losing my father. Coach got to know my dad well during my freshman year. When I went to Oklahoma State, my dad was retired at that time. So he chose to move down to Stillwater so that he could watch my freshman season at Oklahoma State. I had two older brothers that wrestled in college at Appalachian State in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And my dad never got to see them wrestle. I think combined, he only saw them wrestle twice in college because he was working and he was raising a family. I was the youngest of seven. So my dad moved to Stillwater that freshman year. Coach got to know my dad and Leroy, Coach's father. Leroy and my dad traveled to some of those events together. And so there was a really good bond that happened during that freshman year. And then right at the beginning of my sophomore year, unexpectedly, my dad passed away from a heart attack. And so Coach was able to understand me better because of that freshman year. And, really helped me through an extremely tough period of time in my life. So I'm forever grateful for that.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the lessons that maybe from a wrestling perspective that you learned from Coach Smith?
So the biggest takeaway that I ever learned from Coach was prepare for every event to the best of your ability. But expect that things are not going to go your way. And that philosophy and that mental preparation helped me throughout my wrestling career at Oklahoma State, my international career, traveling overseas. And that's really what he was trying to teach us while we were at Oklahoma State with him. He was always teaching from the perspective of, a lot of you are going to move on and wrestle at the world level, and you'll be out of your comfort zone. Even wrestling in the United States, you always kind of have the creature comforts with you. But once you go overseas, you can expect the arenas to not be the same temperatures that we wrestle in this arena. You can expect that the competition is not going to be fair. The refereeing is not going to be good. The fans are not going to treat you well. But you have to prepare yourself for that mentally and learn how to execute in those situations. And just a quick story on that. So I went and wrestled in Kyiv, Ukraine in 2003. And when we went over, the competition was in an ice hockey arena. It was in February with no heat. And when I say no heat, I mean there was no heat in the arena area. And so the arena itself was 30s, maybe low 40 degrees. They put plywood down on the ice, sheets of wood, and then they put the mats right on top of that. So it was ice, plywood, wrestling mat, and pretty much everybody warmed up in their parkas. And then you stripped down, stepped onto the mat, and it was wild because the steam would just like roll off of the wrestlers when they stepped onto the mat. And they went out and competed. And I didn't perform well, right? And at that point in time, I'm trying to tell myself, like, you got to ignore all of these things, but your international athlete completely unfazed. Like they were totally in their element getting ready to go wrestle on this mat that was ice cold, freezing cold, in an arena that was freezing cold. But that was one of the things that rang true. And I left that event and I could hear coach's voice in my head saying, you have to learn to adapt and handle those things. I left that event, got home, they turned around a quick visa for me. I went right back to Russia to wrestle in Ulan-Ude, Russia, and had a much different result, right? But thank goodness I had had coach and him teaching me the things that he did, so that I could accept that and understand those processes and find ways to succeed. And I don't think I would have found the success that I did on the wrestling mats had I not had somebody like Coach mentoring me and bringing me through that process.
That's a great lesson and a great story. I mean, how did you, as a coach, over at American, and you're a wrestling mindset coach thus for a while, how do we get that message into kids' minds? Do we train them for that adversity? Is it sometimes training them in extreme temperatures? And we don't want guys to get hurt, but at the same time, we got to get them mentally ready. How do we build that into athletes, like practically?
Yeah, I think there are some things that you can do and coaches probably should do to get their athletes prepared for that. Because an example, like I can remember when I was an assistant coach at Harvard, we had a day that we came into practice and the radio like took on a mind of its own. The volume was crazy and it kept skipping different songs on the CDs, right? This is early 2000s. And I can remember just, and the guys were getting frustrated with it in the room, right? And I just said, enough is enough. No one's going over to the radio anymore and touching the radio and trying to fix this. We're leaving it like it is. And if I remember correctly, I chose one of the songs that was on there and I just hit repeat on it and I just cranked up the volume. And it was one of those songs that was like an earworm that was driving everybody crazy. But the whole point was there are going to be things that you're going to face at any competition that you have to be able to block out and still perform in, right? So there's little things we can definitely do as coaches that can help our athletes understand you don't want to go to the NCAA championships and that's the first time that you face adversity and you don't. And you're put into a situation where you have no control of what's going on. You want to be learned and you want to be practiced in that, right? Anybody that competes overseas, like you're not going to get the normal food that you get, the normal drink that you get. That's something that you have to accept the day that you leave our country. And so there's little things like that that we as coaches, we can tell the anecdotal stories or we can give them examples. But then there's little things that we can try to challenge them mentally to deal with those things. And I think one thing that we could probably all agree on, the best of the best, they do it in different circumstances and they find ways to succeed. Look at somebody like Jordan Burroughs. He's wrestled through a number of different rule changes and environments. He's won in many different countries. He's won with different rules, with different challenges of officials and to me, that's a sign of a champion, someone that can overcome those things again and again and again and still find their way to the top. It's a true testament of a champion. Coach Smith was that type of guy, right? One interesting statistic on Coach Smith: 4 world championships, 2 Olympic titles, never won it on American soil, and did it 6 straight years. That's a huge statistic. Right. We've seen a lot of people win multiple titles, but at some point in time, they almost all hit their home turf. He never did. He did it overseas the whole time. Again, another testament to who he is.
Oh, definitely. And yes, I get fascinated by this point about how you're training them with adversity. Now, do you, as a coach, is it a better practice to let them know, like the communicating, like, hey, I'm going to throw things at you from time to time? Or is that not communicated? You throw them into it at random and then tell them after the fact, right? I mean, I don't, I guess, there's, it could
Yeah,
go either
that
way.
you, I think it can be done either way, but if you don't prepare them for it, example would be you tell a team, hey, tomorrow we're going to come in and get a drill in the morning, and everybody comes in, they're yawning, they got their sweats on, and once everyone gets in the room, you say, everyone go downstairs, wrestling shoes off, shorts and a t-shirt, we're going out for a run, right? And you'll see guys start to get frazzled because it's a change to what their expectation was. But then this, when it's finished and you bring them in and you say, here's why we did that, right? We need you to be able to adapt and change to whatever's thrown at you. That helps them when they do get to those times where things change. It's not like they prepared for, well, the situation may change, but you have to find a way to adapt. And you still got to find a way to win. And so the more that you can tweak that, I don't think you have to put them through extreme situations, but enough that they can realize I was prepared for A and I was shown B. How do I take that preparation and then be able to go execute and get the results that I want to get? That's a learned behavior. And someone like Coach Smith, he did it on a regular basis. I was just telling somebody the other day, one of the things I vividly remember at Oklahoma State, getting ready for the NCAA championships, he would have the mat put down in Gallagher Iba in the gym, and then he would line up matches for us. So they were scored, timed, refereed matches, and he would put the arena noise into Gallagher Iba. And that for me was extremely helpful by the time I got to the NCAA championships because the arena noise and the announcements can definitely distract an athlete. And for me, the way that I work, like I'm very sensory driven. I hear and see things and it'll affect my focus. But coach was great about getting us prepared for something like that.
Oh yeah, and I mean, like even I think back to the Olympic trials that just took place. There was at some points in time there was music that was like pump up you feel real good. Then there was other songs that were like, you might be you're listening to like your parents' radio station or whatever. It's like not something you would wrestle to, but that could be on. First, usually wrestlers say their first match of the day is the worst. Okay, you got the first round of the Olympic trials, the finals, 10 a.m. Then you have the next round, 6 o'clock. You could have your last match if it goes best of three, close to 10 o'clock at night. Your body feels totally different at those times, yet you have to be able to bring out your very best. I mean, how did you get, what do you think would be the optimal way to prepare these athletes? I know we're going off on a tangent here, but I think
No.
about this. It's important, like getting them ready. Do you do that as a coach? Have those live matches at different points in time during the day?
Yeah. So I think the answer is yes on that. And one of the things I know over the years, preparing for NCAA championships, when we found out what the session times were, starting to work out at those times on a regular basis so that look, on Thursday at the NCAA championships, that round goes really late. It's not your normal time that most guys are stepping on the mat. You do want them to have some sort of practice at doing their warm up at 8:45, 9 o'clock at night, stepping on the mat at 9 o'clock at night. You don't want that first experience to be when you're at the NCAA championships where you're normally either at home or in bed. You don't want to have to be preparing for the biggest match of your life for the first time ever doing that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then I know in I think also in judo over at the Kodokan in Japan, they'll have training at the coldest time of the year during the coldest season, like January 6th through the 15th. I pulled a Kan Gaiko, 2 hour training starts at 5:30 a.m., takes place from January 6th to the 15th to
I
d
love
with
it.
the intent to discipline the mind and body. It said it's one of the traditional events that lasted over 140 years since the early days of the Kodokan. So I mean, like, everyone, I'm sure throughout all of history, the great warriors have done some kind of adversity training. So it's important for the athletes to know that that's got to, somehow you have to weave things in getting comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody that's achieved anything, especially in this sport, you've had to overcome some sort of odd or obstacle, right? Weight management's a big one. So Aaron, one of the things that this weekend that really was driven home to me, Aaron Brooks finished that match with Valencia, had to go get his weight off for the next morning's weigh-in. And I think I saw a meme at like 12:30 at night, him still cutting weight, and he's got to be ready to wrestle the next day at 10 a.m. That to me.
Against David Taylor.
Yeah. It's not like you get a warm-up match. You're stepping in against the reigning Olympic champion, reigning world champion. You better be ready to go. And so that's a testament to Aaron Brooks and his coaches that are around him, that he was able to accept that challenge, and then be ready to execute when the time came. So a great example of mindset and mental training so that you can perform at your best when you need to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know I got off the beaten path a little bit there, but anything else with Coach John Smith that stuck out in your mind? I'm sure, you know, that this could honestly go all day thinking back the impact he's had on you.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things that I've taken my entire life away, Coach Smith impressed upon me. Now I'm like Eric, I came from a very Catholic family, a big traditional Catholic family. One of the things that Coach had said to me is make sure you get, before any of our competitions, get to confession, because that will change the way that you feel and that you're able to compete. When you go through a good full confession and then you step out there on that mat, you're going to feel better than you've ever felt before. And if you don't, there's a chance that you're going to carry some lingering thoughts or attitudes with you that you don't need to have when you step out there on the mat. And so again, he was really good about helping us that were going through that process. And for me, being Catholic, he could always speak frankly to me and let me know when I needed to change the things that I was doing, or at least address them, right? And he was a mentor in that way. He wasn't pointing at me and telling me what I had to do. He was leading by example. When we went on the road, I could always guarantee on Sunday morning to ask Coach if I can get a ride to Mass, because I knew he was already planning it. He was already figuring out what times the Masses were, where they were, and we could always get there. And if we even needed to adjust the workout so that we can get that done, that was a priority, right? And that helped me immensely throughout my college years and subsequent years as I moved on. And so Coach, to me, was not someone who was just a wrestling coach. He truly embodied what that word means, right? To get someone from point A to point B, he coached me, right? He brought me along in that process and taught me an incredible amount of valuable lessons for life, as a father, as a teammate, as a coach. There were so many different aspects that Coach took the time to sit down and tell you, here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'll be the first to admit, like, I probably gave Coach more gray hair or caused him to go bald a little bit earlier than many of the guys in my era, right?
Why's that?
Police escorted out of bedlam duels, kicked out of competitions. I guarantee you I gave Coach as much stress as anybody could, but he always sat back down with me, put his arm around me, and explained to me why I needed to make the choices I need to make and why they were the right choices. And it was going to be good for me, win or lose, in the long run. So again, going back to what I said earlier, you know, when my father passed away, I was 20 years old and spent a lot of time with Coach Smith at that time. And he definitely helped in that role to continue to develop me throughout my college years. So I'm forever grateful for him. My life would not be what it is without Coach Smith. I had the pleasure to coach for 20 years at the Division I level as an assistant coach and 15 years as a head coach. And I chose that path because of Coach Smith. I saw what he did and how he affected people around him, how he helped people around him. And I chose that. And so my life has turned out like it did, largely because of my experience with Coach. And so I'm forever grateful. And I'm so happy to see him transition into this phase of his life. And I'm so excited for the people of Stillwater and the people of Oklahoma and the wrestling community, because I feel like there's so much that Coach will be able to participate in now that he was not able to for the last 33 years.
That's awesome. Thank you very much for that, Tegan. I'm sure when he sees it, he'll really appreciate that as well, and his family. And finally, just to close this off with, talk about you. You're still involved in wrestling, still with a lot of top wrestlers, top former wrestlers. What have you been up to lately?
So I work with Advantage Sport and Fitness, which we're not a wrestling company, but man, it sure feels like it. John Murray, who is the longtime Ithaca head coach, started Advantage Sport and Fitness. We help build fitness facilities. So I work the education market, universities, high schools. Aside from my full-time job with Advantage Sport and Fitness, I run a consulting business. I help high school wrestlers and their parents find the right college wrestling program for them. And so at this point in time, there's 453 programs for men across the country, Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA, junior colleges. So there are plenty of opportunities, but a lot of high school wrestlers and their parents don't know how to funnel that down to find the right choices for them, be it educationally or the academics. The right fit with personalities of coaches. What level do they want to compete at? What's it mean to wrestle Division I, Division II, or Division III? Those that may need a little bit more time to develop, junior college may be good options for them. And quite frankly, there's just not a lot of information out there that give you the backgrounds of a lot of these programs and a lot of these coaches. So that's what I do. I help guide them in that process and teach them the ways to communicate with the coaches, how to do follow-ups. And I don't do recruiting. I don't call college coaches and say, you need to recruit this kid. That's one of the first things I say to all of my customers and clients. I'm going to show you how to get in front of these college coaches, because ultimately that relationship in the recruiting process is really going to set the stage for that relationship when you end up there wrestling for that coach. And so consulting is a big part of how I give back to the sport, that I'm not in college coaching anymore. And I still help out at our local club, Capital Wrestling Club, right outside of DC in Gaithersburg, Maryland. So I'm still on the mats, helping the next generation of wrestlers. And then I'm on Zoom calls, helping parents and wrestlers find out where they need to go and wrestle in college.
Awesome. And I think that's huge. And I hope our Wrestling Mindset clients are taking advantage of that, as well as anyone else who watches our shows, that they take advantage of what you're doing with the athletes. I mean, I think for me personally, I don't really like clicking around much on the internet, surfing the web, trying to find the information, actually speaking to someone. And it's not like you're just speaking to anyone. You're speaking to Teague Moore here, who's been around, who's been in the game, knows what he's talking about, can help you. I think that's huge. Like that, what a great service for wrestlers who normally this could be a painful process of, I mean, how many wrestlers we see, they go to a school just because of the name or just because of the coach. They're not looking at the big picture, all these different areas that you're making sure they're focusing on all of these things. And then they make a mistake and then they have to transfer. Not that transferring is bad, but if it's because they made an impatient decision or an uninformed decision, then maybe not so good.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I know in my time, social media has changed a lot in the recruiting game. And I feel like so many young wrestlers get rushed into their college decision. And when you get rushed into the decision, you may not know what your day-to-day life is going to be like on that campus. You may have just gone through the recruiting process with a program and it was all bells and whistles and everything was really exciting on that weekend that you went. But then the reality hits when you unpack your bags and you're there and you find out, I don't know what we do or what do I spend my time doing during the week. And if you didn't do your homework in the recruiting process, you may find out you're at a school that there's not a lot of options for your hobbies and what you do, right? Or if you chose a rural school, but you're kind of a city-driven person, you like music concerts, you like museums, you like going out, seeing pro sporting events. But if you're at a school that's 2 hours away from a big city, then you're going to have to find some other things to spend your time with, right? And so just like you said, one of my goals is to help kids avoid that transfer process. At any given state school, you know, you could be paying anywhere from $12,000 to $24,000 a semester, even at state schools, right? Private schools, it's crazier than that, right? We're talking private schools now that you look at some of the Ivy Leagues, they're over $80,000 a year. That means per semester, you're at, you know, over $40,000. And even some of the smaller private schools are well close to that in dollars and cents. If you go there, it doesn't work out your first year and you go to transfer, you almost rarely get to take all your credits with you to the next school. The next school will almost always hold back on 9, 12, or even 15 credits. That could be a full semester, of which that was $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 lost just because of a rash decision or a rushed decision. So that's my goal, to help people figure that out. And ultimately, if it saves the family and the wrestler money, great. More so if it saves them anguish,
yes,
and stress and anxiety, then it's really a long-term payoff.
You beat me to the punch. I was just going to say that whether you're just concerned with the dollars or cents, which I know that's not why what all the wrestlers and the parents are thinking, but how the kid is adjusting and what that does to them mentally and emotionally, it's a hit a lot of times for people. And it's just because they don't know what they're looking for, or maybe they're making those the rush decisions based on different factors. You're comparing to what other friends at your school are doing, trying to keep up with the Joneses versus trying to actually do what's best for you and your long-term future. So that's huge, Teague. Where can they find your information?
Real simple, thewrestlingconsultant.com. So they can go to the website and it's got contact information there for me. If they want to drop an email, thewrestlingconsultant@gmail.com. And sometimes I just do an introductory call and, you know, 15 minutes, we realize they're already on a path and they have most of everything figured out. So no harm, no foul. And then sometimes we get into those conversations and the parents say, I didn't wrestle in college. My wife didn't play sports in college. We don't even know where to begin. And then I can say, okay, we do a 1 hour Zoom call and we'll start to break down what their wrestler is really going to make their decision on. Some guys are going to make it on geography, how close it is from home. Others, it will be solely academically driven. Do they have a field that school needs? But I help wade through a lot of those topics so that we can start to narrow their choices. And then I give them about 8 or 10 coaches and programs that they should reach out to. And I coach them through the process of how should they be reaching out? What's the proper way to do that? How should you communicate with those coaches moving forward?
Excellent. We'll definitely throw a link in the show notes.
Thank you very much,
Teagan, for all you do for the wrestling world. Still, we appreciate everything.
Absolutely. Gene, same to you. I love what Mindset is doing for some of our young wrestlers. As I always say, the physical training may be 90% of your time, but the mental part, which we only think is 5 or 10% of the game, if you don't have your mental mindset prepared properly, you're going to lose out on all that 90% of the physical work that you did, right? So I love what you guys are doing with Mindset. Like you said, I've taken part with you for 2 years now. And I think it's the right thing for wrestlers at all ages and athletes at all ages to participate in.
Thank you, Teague. Talk soon. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.